The transition from student to graduate nurse is one of the most overlooked and most stressful moments in a nurse's career. For years, today's guest, Deanne Geddes, watched new graduate nurses step into their careers full of potential, only to be crushed by overwhelm, fear, and a lack of structured support, even if they landed a graduate program. With over 10 years of nursing experience herself, she remembers exactly what it felt like to be a grad nurse, excited but also terrified, unsupported, and constantly dieting herself. That experience, that personal experience combined with burnout and her own health struggles, inspired Deanne to create the Graduate Nurse Academy and her Thrive Framework, a step-by-step pathway to help new grads to going from feeling anxious and underprepared to confident, resilient, and thriving in their first year of nursing. This is a story of how Deanne turned her challenges into a coaching business that's transforming the way that new nurses step into the profession.
Welcome to the Nursepreneur Academy podcast, where nurses like you discover how to break free from the bedside and build a flexible, profitable business using the skills, knowledge, and experiences you already have. I'm your host, Liam Caswell, an RN turned full-time six-figure nursepreneur. In 2021, everything changed for me in my career. I left my senior nursing role to build an online nurse-led personal brand. One that gives me the freedom to work from anywhere, leverage the skills the hospital paid me to learn, and create both the income and impact I always knew I was capable of. Now it's your turn. I'm here to show you the possibilities beyond bedside and help you transition into a nurse-led business that fits your needs and life. Whether you dream of working from home, earning what you're truly worth, or making an impact on your own terms, I'm going to guide you every step of the way. Together, my friend, we'll make traditional nursing as you know it, optional. Now let's get down to it and let's build your profitable business.
Dee, welcome to the podcast. How are you going?
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Let's rock and roll and dive in. I'd love you to take us back to what it really felt like for you walking onto the wards in your first graduate nursing role. What fears or doubts were running through your mind when you started your grad program?
Wow. I actually got to choose a unit in the hospital that I did my grad program. I got to choose to go to a unit that I'd actually gone to as an agency AIN a few times. And I chose that thinking that it would give me a level of safety and familiarity, I guess. But walking on there as a new graduate registered nurse was very different to walking in there as an AIN. And I will never, ever forget just the feeling of the nurse that I was working with going, oh, can Deanne sign for this? Can Deanne do this by herself? Like, and everybody going, well, yeah, she's a nurse now. She's not a student anymore. She's a nurse now. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm a what? I'm a who? And on that first med round that I did by myself, I actually made an error.
Mm.
And I didn't get told about it. So the person I was working with didn't bring it up or anything. And it was not until the end of the shift that the nun said, oh, Deanne, can I see you in my office? So I went, okay, sure. And I went in and she goes, oh, when you gave your medication to this person this morning, you made an error. And my stomach just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, what did I do? Because I'm like, well, nobody's called a met call or anything. So like, what's going on? Like, and they said, oh, you gave furosemide orally and it's ordered IV. So after 11 years, I know specifically what that error was.
Yeah.
What happened. So she said to me, it's not a big deal. Obviously, it's just going to get to her slower than IV would, but just for future reference, right? And of course, my brain was like, well, if I had have given the wrong medication, if I had have done something else, like it could have been awful, right? Yeah. And this was a respiratory ward. So, you know, we know that there's all sorts of things that can go wrong there. So I was just like, from then on, I have never, ever given a medication without very carefully checking the route of administration. And from then on, I was just, every time somebody was like, oh, did you do this? I was like,
yeah.
Oh, you haven't done that. Like,
the fear is real.
Just that whole, I'm going to get pulled into the nun's office again and somebody, I'm going to kill somebody or I'm going to do something really, really wrong. And I do not recall being told, oh, you've done a really good job or thanks for doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But those really negative experiences have stuck a lot better than the really positive ones in that first few months.
So interesting, hey, because our brain has like a predisposition to focus on the negative, the things that didn't go so well. And even when you've got the support in a program or you're in a program that you thought would give you support, that those memories are so vivid and real, and they do stick with you for a lifetime. It's so interesting. That was your first day. That was your, oh my goodness, yeah. Like, it's so interesting you say that, because I think everybody has a story like that. Maybe not on our first day. I definitely made a mistake within my first month. And I think it's worth talking about it, because people listening might think that they're immune, you know, especially if you're a graduate nurse thinking like, oh no, I'm not going to be like that. We all get caught up. I did something very similar where I was working in the high monitoring unit on my ward, which was like a medical admission planning. And my patient was prescribed TDS Piptaz, and I gave it QID. And so I gave them an extra dose on my 12-hour day. And of course, I checked it with the senior nurse because it was an IV and no one picked it up. But of course, I got the rigmarole because I actually gave it. And I'm like you, I will never, ever, you know, I never made that mistake again. Yeah. But I hear you, like, no one stopped me and said, hey, by the way, you're in your first 30 days here. You've done X, Y, and Z, amazing. I was just pulled in when there was a mistake. Okay. Yeah, no wonder we feel so unsupported in our first, you know, 30, 60, 90 days of being a graduate nurse. Why do you think the transition from student nurse to being a graduate nurse, it's so hard?
I think there's so many reasons. I think that one of the biggest things is, though, that nursing is so glorified as being a calling, and, you know, we're all called angels and heroes and all of these sorts of things. So when you're doing your nursing course, you feel that pressure. And then you go out there on your own, and there's such a sudden shift from being supervised to being unsupervised. And we're not prepared for that. We're not given any, you know, we're told to use the Gibbs reflective cycle. We're given one subject at the very end of this three-year course on transition to nursing, which vaguely covers transition shock and maybe some self-care. And we're not given any tools to process any of the stuff that happens. We're not given any specific support. It's like, oh, you know, if you have any issues, then talk to your NUM or go to EAP or this, that, and the other. Like, we're just handed all of these brochures and information and phone numbers and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I think without any sort of structured, you know, okay, stop. Nobody tells you to just stop. And in fact, everybody tells you to just keep pushing. And everybody keeps telling you, like, the more you do, the better it'll be for you. You know, you'll be more valuable. You need to be a valuable member of the team. Do more shifts, do more stuff, learn more things, become an expert on everything in the first 90 days, and then you'll be deemed a wonderful, amazing nurse. And everybody wants to be that. Mm. And the idea that instead of doing that, maybe we can be humans, maybe nurses are humans and we're not angels, you know? So I think that the culture of nursing has perpetuated this whole thing of us being on these pedestals and putting our own expectations so high that it's unachievable. And then we feel like absolute crap when we can't achieve it and we think we're not worthy.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Say that louder for the people in the back. I love that. Yeah. So you landed a public grad program, right?
A private hospital.
You went to a private hospital grad program. So what was that first 90 days like for you in that transition?
It's very fuzzy.
on purpose.
I think, you know, I have looked back and I spent 6 months in the respiratory ward and 6 months in a palliative care unit. And that first, you know, 90 days or so, it was definitely a whirlwind of trying to figure out the routine of the unit, trying to figure out who I could go to for help and who was not going to be helpful, trying to figure out my place there, which was pretty much nowhere because I was transitional. So, like, I remember the Christmas party came around and everybody was trying to figure out who was going to be rostered on, who's going to go to the Christmas party. Well, I wasn't going to the Christmas party because I was new and I wasn't going to be there for very long. So it just wasn't even a consideration to be as part of the team Christmas party, which, you know, then when we talk about the humanness, that takes you back to, you know, the trauma of being bullied at high school and the trauma of being bullied at all these sorts of things. So it's not just nursing that affects us. It's our whole life is wrapped up. Like, nursing isn't separate. We can't segregate that from the rest of our life. I do remember having, I think, the best feedback I ever got on that unit, and every unit ever since, has always been from the patients. And it was always to do with my compassion and taking time for them. So, and it was usually with people that were facing terminal diagnosis. And I remember talking to this one gentleman in the middle of the night, and he'd just been told that day that he had lung cancer, and that basically there was, like, you know, they couldn't cure it and he had limited time. And he was trying to think about how to, he was awake all night. I was on night duty, and he was wondering how he was going to tell his family about this. And he said, "I don't want anybody here to tell them. I want to tell them." I just sat with him. I made him a cup of tea and I sat with him and let him talk out what he wanted to do. And he was so grateful for that. And I think that was, when I look back now, I didn't realize it at the time, but when I look back now, I go, you know, we put so much focus in those first months, that first year, on technical skills and clinical skills and getting it right and being able to do all of the things. And it's like, but what about those moments? Again, it's the humanness of being a nurse and just holding space for people at their most vulnerable.
It's so interesting that we kind of almost forget that when we get wrapped up in the complexity of nursing and the competencies and the unit politics and the career growth and the promotions and the postgrads. It always comes back to, and what I've heard, you know, hundreds of times on this podcast, is that being good at the basics as a nurse is what makes you exceptional as a nurse. Yeah. Being the nurse that can hold space and sit with someone that's going through a life-changing, altering experience, be it a patient or a family or even a peer, that is what makes you an exceptional clinician, not your dual masters, not your ability to get a promotion, not your ability to insert here, achieve some accolade, especially within your first 6 to 12 months of a graduate year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And having worked so closely with graduate nurses across your 10-year career, what do you think is the biggest thing that plagues graduate nurses at this point, like at this transition point, moving into their graduate year?
From everything I've seen and from what everybody tells me, it's confidence. So even though they've done all of these years of studying and placements and things like that, there's so many grad nurses that put their whole confidence level in those first few months and whether or not other people say they're good enough. And I think a lot of it is strongly linked with competence. And of course, we need competent nurses, but it's not the whole story. And I think, you know, there's so many grad nurses that just, they struggle with confidence. And a lot of it is also because of the way that they're treated by their colleagues and peers. And of course, that's multifaceted and very complicated as well. Because all nurses are struggling with overwork and their own traumas and their own things that they haven't been able to deal with as well. And then they put that onto the new grads. You know, the new grads are an easy target, right? They struggle with the confidence to actually own their space as a nurse. And like, I'm like, well, you've done 3 years of a nursing degree and you've been deemed appropriate to become a registered nurse. Like, you've got to be doing something right already.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, this isn't the be all and end all, but you're starting from a pretty strong point.
So I think you touched on something really important there around competence and confidence. And I think that what we're trained to believe as humans who nurse in life and in nursing is that in order to have confidence, we need to be the most competent. And I think they definitely do intersect, but a lot of the work that I do, a lot of the work that you do, talks about how confidence is an internal job. It is something that we curate through how we think and how we consciously tell stories about ourselves. Right? So it makes total sense if you're a grad nurse that's maybe had 3 years of, you know, placements that were quite similar. Let's say you've been in aged care and community and you haven't done a lot of acute care. There's an argument there that you could feel underconfident, right? Going into like a public hospital, private hospital, even just any kind of grad program or grad job. But the reality is that story you have control over. And when we outsource it to having less competence because we haven't been exposed to it, it's like, no, we actually get to rewrite the story.
Yes.
We get to tell ourselves that you can be confident even without that exposure and that experience. Because as you said, the 3 years has proven to you that you can and you will. Yeah. Because before you started, you had no confidence and you didn't know that you could become a nurse. And yet here you are 3 years later with a degree in your hand and you're about to start your dream job potentially. And so I find it fascinating that we have this almost obsession with needing to feel confident. I think that I'd be curious what your take on this is, but through my career, any shift or transition that I've made, I've never really felt confident.
100%. You do not feel confident.
Before I've made that leap, before I've taken the job, before I've invested in the program, before, you know, you just, confidence is not a prerequisite to success. It's more like being willing and able to be courageous.
Yes.
And to allow yourself to build and stack confidence internally. Because if we always outsource it, we're always reliant on other people for our confidence.
Yeah, and you're going to be sorely disappointed when you come
across... You're going to be really pissed.
When you come across a whole, you know, a whole ward full of nurses who are all jaded and completely dysregulated themselves and unhappy in their work, none of them are going to give... They can't give themselves the compassion that they need. They're certainly not giving you any.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're not going to get the compliments and the good feedback that you need and desire to create that confidence. It's absolutely an inside job and it's curated over time and space using your own brain and your own strategies to do that. And what you said, you know, like if you're starting something new, like you can be confident that you can do it eventually. You can't go in there confident that you're going to nail it right now necessarily, right? And one of my favorite quotes is, if you can't beat fear, do it scared. So, and that is confidence. So confidence is about not being scared. Confidence is about doing it anyway and owning your own space.
Yeah. I always like to think about the difference between like confidence and self-confidence. I always like think that we confuse the two. I think confidence comes through more competence. Like, I think you do build it over time. You also build it, you're building self-confidence when you rewrite your inner narratives. But a coach once taught me self-confidence and it changed how I saw myself and helped other people see themselves around that lens of like self-confidence is just being willing to do the thing like you just said and have your own back. Regardless of the outcome. If you can do that and find evidence that you've done that in your life, personally and professionally, you can confidently call yourself self-confident.
Yes.
There's a lot of confidence happening in there. But you know, that is, I think, a really important thing because that is inner narrative, the stories I tell myself about my ability and my capacity. And also, I've got my own back if I mess up. And 9 times out of 10, you will mess up. It's not a linear path, right? It's not a clear trajectory. Nothing is in nursing, especially in your first 6 to 12 months.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got that self-confidence and then you've got your confidence in your ability to do a thing. That is built with competence and with repetition and with and with a whole lot of things. But having that self-confidence is the first ingredient to building all the rest of it without completely falling apart, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have that self-confidence to go into the space, to even give it a go and give yourself the chance, then how are you going to build anything?
Yeah, I love that. It's a great segue into us exploring a little bit more about why you chose to confidently or maybe self-confidently start a business that helps graduate nurses transition into their graduate year. So you created the Graduate Nurse Academy. Why did you feel so called to start that?
Just about everybody that does this sort of work has had a burnout journey, right? And for me, I burnt out spectacularly. Like I went from doing full-time work, full-time study in my master's degree, socializing, exercising, doing all the stuff to being able to not even get out of bed. And like I could not function. I had to quit working. I had to defer my studies. I had to everything for a couple of months because I just could not function. Like my body literally shut down, my nervous system shut down. And in that moment, I was like, well, that's it. My life is over. All of this stuff, you know, I was going to be this great aspiring university lecturer and this expert in nursing and have all of the things. And my whole life, I was like, well, now it's all done. There's nothing left for me. I can't do anything. My life is broken. And as I started going through the healing journey, and the medical world had pretty much nothing for me apart from a psychologist, which was amazing. Like the work that I did with that psychologist was phenomenal. So I looked at more holistic, emotional and spiritual things. And I came to realize that if I had have had some of these tools, strategies and other things to support me before I started nursing, and if I had even had them, I don't know, when I was a child, would I have gone through this and would it have been so difficult for me to get to this, get through this point? Would I have even had this breakdown? And part of it was about supporting students and supporting nurses to, initially I thought I'll help nurses to learn how to work with students and new grads better. But I came to realize that it's the grads that need the help. If we can support new graduate nurses to go into their career with strategies and tools and balance, then maybe we won't have up to 25% of new grads quitting within their grad year. Maybe we can shift the culture gradually, because the system relies on nurses being self-sacrificing. The system relies on people saying yes when they need extra shifts and extra everything, right? And nurses do it because we feel we have to. That's our calling. That's our sacrifice. That's, you know, we're angels and heroes, right? And if we turn around and go, well, actually, I'm a human being, and if we can help new nurses before they get caught up in that to go, hey, actually, I've got boundaries and actually I'm an important person myself, maybe we won't have the issue with the burnout. Maybe we won't have the issue with the culture of nursing as it is. I tried to implement this in some of my workplaces, clinical workplaces. People weren't really interested in that. You know, we don't have the time, the money, the capacity, nobody's interested in doing holistic self-care for their staff. So I went, well, guess I'll just have to go and do it myself.
Yeah. And I think that there's a huge lesson in there for all nurses, but nursepreneurs that are particularly listening around. Through every quote-unquote breakdown or burnout, there is always a breakthrough. And so whilst it's absolutely horrific to experience that, even when the spectacular burnout episodes is Dee beautifully shared there, it always leads to a breakthrough and a moment of realization of like helping a past version of yourself. And I think that that's what's really incredible about your story, Deanne, is that you've gone from being the graduate nurse who was feeling low in confidence and was navigating the private healthcare system, thinking that you would have all this support, and you didn't get that. And now here you are with the tools, the knowledge, the expertise, having invested so much in yourself to be able to get to this point now where you can give back to the future of nursing and graduate nurses to help them navigate what is an incredible career. But with that, so much of the hopefully breakdown and burnout, so that they can thrive, hey, instead of having to just work it out and DIY it and just hope for the best. Because that 25% of nurses that are leaving within their grad year, that's terrifying, especially in the context of the fact that by 2030, like millions of nurses, we will be short globally. Like we cannot afford to lose them so early in the process. And we could talk about that for a whole episode, right? I'd be so curious, just for people listening, what do you mean by holistic self-care? Because it's a word, like self-care is thrown around. Everybody's kind of gets a bit pissed off when they hear it usually, because they're like, yeah, I know. How am I supposed to, you know, embed this into my life? So what do you mean by holistic self-care for graduate nurses?
So, yeah, I mean, people throw around self-care like it's confetti. And I think everybody thinks of self-care as being brunch with mimosas and bubble baths and a weekend retreat or massages and stuff like that. And when we think about holistic care, and we've all been taught this as nurses, we know that holistic care is about the whole person. And we're not just talking about that fluffy stuff. We're talking about, first of all, our intrinsic needs as human beings. So self-care is eating nutritious food, moving our bodies, drinking water, getting enough sleep, mindfulness, nature, having a good time, connecting with people. So, I mean, that's kind of what I call my pillars of self-care and wellness. So I've actually got 8 of them, and that's it. So it's a holistic approach. So it's your physical needs, your emotional needs, your spiritual needs. And people, new nurses and graduate nurses, it's like, I don't have time to eat. Well, that's not okay. People don't drink water because they don't have time to go to the bathroom. Like, that's not okay, you know. And then we're there relying on coffee and Red Bull and to get us through shifts. And our bodies don't like that. When we understand, and as nurses, we understand basic physiology and biology, right? We know that a bunch of sugar and caffeine is never going to sustain us. And it will lead to a slump at the end of it, and the crash will be even harder than it would have been otherwise. So it's these sorts of things for the long game, right? We're not looking at the short game. We're looking at the long game. And it's not just about being able to do your job. It's about being able to live your life. Because if you don't look after yourself now, your body will push back at some point.
Yeah. I think we see that a lot in the nursing industry, especially us nurses that have been in it for years, where we have collectively just neglected ourselves in service to the system, and we're paying the price. But if you're a new graduate nurse, you need to hear this. Like, we are, as a generation of nurses, we are paying the price. And I think about this a lot, where, like, you mentioned how traumatic that medication error was and how vivid it is in your memory. Like, think of all the micro moments and things that have happened through your 10 plus year experience, and how they've all stacked, and how your body has held on to that stress. And then out on top of that, not eating, not drinking, that's more stress, physiological stress. Out on top of that, emotional stress. Out on top of that, physical stress of just, like, your body aching. Like, it just compounds. And then we wonder, and you see online in the Facebook groups, and you see people commenting saying, you know, I've been a grad for 3 months, and, like, my body is aching, my mind is racing, I can't, like, does it get any better? Well, no, if you don't prioritize those foundational needs, those intrinsic needs, it ain't going to change.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not going to get better just because you're doing more time. That's not how it works. It gets better because you do the work to make it better. And, you know, people talk about their bodies hurting, and that's like, well, okay, you're walking around for 8 or 12 hours a day, walking, you know, doing manual handling, all this sort of stuff that you've never done before. And now all of a sudden you've been doing it 5 days a week for 3 months straight. Like, of course you're going to hurt. You need to do stretching, do some strength exercises, maybe get a massage. That's where massages do come in handy.
Yeah, yeah. They're like supplementary things, not just like your first go-to.
Yeah.
Because they'll make you feel good in the moment. Hey, but I love a massage. But you also need to have the capacity to be able to receive that kind of nervous system relaxation as well. Like, if you're all pent up and stressed, it ain't going to happen. And you said something there that I think we should lean into or just make note of, is that you have to make time to do the work on yourself, or you will be forced to do the work. It's not a if, it's a when. It's a when thing, especially as a nurse. There's no world in which you just go, no, I'm going to be fine. Your body will shut you down, like it did for Deanne and myself and nearly every guest I've had on this podcast, and you will be forced to do the self-care work. So you get to decide. And ironically, as preventative clinicians, you know, we should be focusing on this for our patients and ourselves. We should be working in that preventative state around, okay, what do we need to do in order to be the most aligned, holistically cared for, centered, grounded, less stressed graduate nurses we're building our careers. Not for your employer, not for your manager, not for your educator, your grad program, or your patients, for your future self. Period.
It's all about you being able to be the best nurse and the best person you can be. You need to be a good nurse, but what about being the mother or the father or the partner or the sister or the anything else that you are?
Yeah.
You can't give to those people that you care about and enjoy time doing the things you like to do if you are absolutely broken from doing your work.
Yeah, I love that. So you've talked about your eight pillars. Tell us a little bit about your specific signature kind of process. You take people through Thrive. So give us a high-level overview of what Thrive is and kind of what it stands for. And then maybe if you just want to like lean into the transition part of it and talk to us about what that looks like for people.
Yeah, so Thrive is a six-month program. And so Thrive is basically an acronym. So we have each letter is a month. So we've got the transition support. We've got the holistic wellness. We've got the reflection and resilience, interpersonal skills, vision and goals, and energy and empowerment. Mm-hmm. So we start with the transition, and the transition is all about that big speed hump that you've got to go over to get from student to nurse. And it's all, this is the really basic ground level stuff. So this is time management, building your routines, getting used to shift work, and your basic self-care stuff. So this is where we coach around those sorts of things. And there are so many ways that you can do these things. And the reason I created the program the way I did is because everybody is different. So it's about finding what works for each individual person and helping them to shift and change it, because you can try something and it might not work for you. So let's talk about another way to approach it, because everybody's different. And I see it all the time. People posting going, oh, how do I deal with night shift? Do you know how many different answers there are to that question?
Yeah.
Like, hey, first of all, you really don't ever really properly deal with night shift. We're not meant to be awake all night. What works for one person doesn't work for another person. So it's about, that's the transition part of it, is to start that, setting those really solid foundations for that holistic self-care and that approach to nurse, integrating nursing into your life, not the other way around.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And if that's just one part of it, right? Transition holistically tailored to the individual, to the grad nurse, because there are so many ways you can, like, there's, you know, hundreds of ways you could skin a cat in a grad program and do, you know, build your personal care plan to be able to navigate the first 6 months so that you're not part of that 25% that drops out and, you know, has spent 3 years and tens of thousands of dollars on a nursing career to then just like drop. If there was one thing outside of the transition space that you could share with our audience, our grad nurses listening, that would be super valuable, what would that be?
I think it comes back to you being worthy and important enough as you are. You don't have to prove anything to anyone by sacrificing your own self and your own wellness. I think we become better nurses by being human. And I think just focusing on ourselves first, the rest will come.
I love that. I think you should get that on a t-shirt, Dee. We become better nurses by being human. I love that. I think that's so profound. And it's so true. It is so true, especially in the day and age of AI and ChatGPT and the robots coming to take our jobs. Like, the best nurses will be the nurses that are able to deal with the complexity of humans. And you can't be a nurse for that. You have to be a human. You have to meet people where they're at. And as a grad nurse, you have to be able to be equipped with those tools that often the university TAFE system does not teach you. No. They're assumed skills and knowledge. And therefore, you either learn on the job or you join something like Thrive in the Grad Nurse Academy in your first 6 months to be able to, or your, you know, second 6 months, whenever you happen to find amazing DE. Yeah. But that's when you start to learn these skills that are lifelong nursing human skills and tools to help you thrive into your second year, your transition to practice program, like so on and so forth, manager, educator, wherever you want to be. These tools are tools that will follow you for life.
Absolutely. These are things that once you get them into your life and you build those foundations and you set that up, I know that for me, it doesn't mean you're never going to feel stressed or you're never going to feel nervous or you're never going to have an issue. What it means is that you can now identify those things and you have tools and strategies to manage them.
Yeah, What I love about the work that you do, Dee, that we haven't really spoken a great deal about here, but we've touched on it, is that your work is deeply embedded and grounded in mindfulness, meditation, but also mindset, reframing our thinking, leveraging our amazing neuroplastic brain, our nervous system integration. And I know that you're very big on energy and energy management. And like that, I think, speaks to the quality and also like the science, the evidence-based nature of the work that you do with graduate nurses, because like our patients, it is a holistic approach that is multifaceted and very specific and tailored to each individual. And that's special. And that's rare. That's rare in the online coaching space, where things can be very cookie cutter and they can be very much like you fit into one box. And you're dealing with graduate nurses who are internationals, that are not getting graduate programs, that are maybe starting in a job where they're not getting access to help and support. Who's teaching that? They should be coming, joining Thrive. You've got, you know, local nurses, Australian nurses that are based here, born, bred here, that are getting into their dream programs and realizing it ain't what they said on the tin.
Yeah.
And they're not getting the support. Maybe you're a mature age student. Maybe you are somebody that has made second career pivot into nursing. And these skills are essential for your success to be able to build and grow a sustainable nursing career, for sure. So thank you for doing this work. It's super, super important. I would love to segue and ask you about your nursepreneurial journey, because this work that we've been doing together has been awesome. I've absolutely loved working with you in the Nursepreneur Academy to be able to build your business. For people that are listening, you had kind of started your business many years ago, right? Like you had kind of like loosely started something online and you were posting and adding value. So talk me through the process of that kind of like pre-NPA time where you were building your business and what that looked like and what your struggles were. And then joining NPA and what we've been working on over the last, I think it's 6 to 12 months now.
When I first had these realizations, this was back in around 2019. And I started I started social media and stuff and posting random stuff on there and stuff. And then I was like, okay, I can turn this into a business. So it was around 2021. I built a website. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I'll just build a website and I'll, you know, build it and they will come. That does not work. That does not work. For anybody listening, let me tell you, that does not work.
You tried.
So I built a website and I thought, you know, we'll get coaching clients. And I did have a couple of people come on board, but I had a really low price point because I was like, I've got to get them in and I've got to prove myself, right? So I had a couple of coaching clients come in. Then I was like, well, this really isn't doing anything very much. You know, I don't have consistent clients. I have another job. I can't maintain this. So I kind of let it slide for a little bit again. And then I reinvigorated my socials and thought, okay, well, I'll just start sharing more stuff. And again, didn't really lead very far. I was just posting random stuff still. And then I've been in your world for quite some time. I think back in 2018 or whatever it was, I found you when you were doing all the other stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm following all your stuff along. And I saw that you'd started this whole, you know, coaching people to start their businesses. And I was like, maybe I need some help. And I'd done a couple of those free masterclasses and webinars and stuff with coaches that help start online coaching businesses and stuff. And it just didn't sit well. It didn't sit right. I was like, some of them were like, you've got to sit for a whole week back to back day, every day doing this stuff online with 100 other people. And I went, that just didn't sit right. And then when I saw that you were starting the Nursepreneur Academy, I was like, okay, he's a nurse. He gets this. He understands what it is I'm actually trying to achieve and what I'm trying to do and who my target people are. He gets it. And then, you know, obviously we started talking and similar values around all that mindset and that neuroplasticity and everything. And honestly, like aside from all of that, there's a strategy. There's some framework. There's some stuff that all these things that I didn't know I had to do to start a business. Like, you know, all these steps before you even start trying to put an offer out there. Like, there's so many steps that have made it make sense. And I think in that 5 years or whatever that I was faffing about trying to do stuff, in less than 12 months now that I've been working with you, I've gotten so much further already.
I love that. And I remember when we first...
You're only getting started.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like it's a journey for sure. It's a journey. that we are on. And I remember when we first connected, you were just like, I just need the roadmap. I just need the roadmap. I just need the step-by-step roadmap that's tailored specifically to nurses. And that's what we've been working through. I'd love to hear from you. What has been your proudest moment so far in building and thriving the Graduate Nurse Academy?
I honestly think that so far it's the connections that I've made with people. I have had DMs from people saying, and it actually makes me a little bit emotional because I actually had this great big rant from somebody even just yesterday, like venting about all of these things that are going on. And I'm like, whoa, there is a lot going on there. The amount of people that are confiding in me going, please help me. Or how do I deal with this? Or I'm finding this a struggle. And a lot of the time, they're confirming what I already believe to be true about that process. So I'm not making up the stuff that I focus on and that I talk about on my socials and that I teach and thrive. I'm not making it up out of just, I think this is a great idea. It's actually people saying these are the things that are a problem. And some of the stuff I teach, people might not know that they need, but it's the answer to their problem.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because a lot of nursepreneurs listening will often just lead with what they think their people need. But it is often a mix of you need to meet your people where they're at. And in NPA, we do that. We do a lot of, as Dee mentioned, we do a lot of behind the scenes work, a lot of data gathering, a lot of research, a lot of speaking to your ideal client so that you build something that actually people want, not just a nice to have. And then as you build and grow your offer and your business, you get to weave in your expertise and give people what you know they actually need. But often that is not what is marketed, because people don't actually know that they
no.
They think they want confidence, but in fact, they need mindset and nervous system regulation tools and self-care plans and so on and so forth. So that's a really valid point. Now, when you first joined, I remember you had a huge fear around technology and you were very scared of all levels of technology. You just kept saying to me, I'm a technophobe. I can't do this. I don't like technology. I don't know what I'm doing. Can you give us a little update as to how technology has become a friend of yours in this process?
I would still say it's a complicated relationship.
Oh, it never gets any better. It's always complicated.
But I have to say that I've always known that once I get used to using something, I'm okay. Like, I can usually figure stuff out. And once I learn something, I'm good with it. And I guess, you know, that's a nurse thing as well. You know, once we can do a thing, we can do a thing. The technology stuff has absolutely, like, transformed how I approach this compared to, you know, those first few years where I was randomly posting on Instagram and, you know, maybe trying to build some sort of website. You know, I've got so much better at doing social media stuff with a few tiny little bits of technology. You're just learning to use them, being able to automate emails and those sorts of things. I never would have thought to do that. Everything was manual in my world. And so being able to do that now, a new piece of technology here and there will still, like, freak me out a little bit. But it's, I definitely see the value in learning how to use a lot of these things and having support from you, Mr. Technological Man.
We love the tech.
We don't, you do. having somebody support you through that really, really has been helpful, because it's a necessary thing. If you want to do online coaching, if you want to do any sort of anything in this day and age, you need technology. And if you don't know how to use it, you need somebody to help you with that. So that's super valuable.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true, especially in the day and age of AI now, you're like getting on top of tech and having a really streamlined, easy to use tech system that all speaks to one another is super important. And being able to learn and understand how to use ChatGPT in your business so that it makes repetitive tasks much easier is super important. So if someone's listening that's kind of in the same situation you were in, they were posting online, they were kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall, hoping that the clients would come running, what piece of advice would you offer them around starting their nurse-led business?
Get help.
Period. Get that on a t-shirt.
Talk to Liam. Like, it kind of it aligns really well with what I do with my coaching business as well. Like, nursing is a team sport. Life, we're humans and we're meant to be in groups. We're not meant to be in isolation and solo, and we're not meant to all know everything and do everything all by ourselves. And it's hard for us to do that because we're so often taught to be independent and not seek
autonomous
help. Help is so weak. You know, if you need help, you're not strong enough, all these sorts of things. Trust me when I say that seeking support is the bravest thing you can do if you want to level up in your life, your business, your anything, because doing it on your own is just, it's not a thing. I'm not saying it can't be done, but most people are not going to be able to do it, and it's not going to be done with balance.
Yeah, I love that. And there's so much evidence to support from the literature around getting co-regulatory support from someone that is even one step ahead of you or three, four steps ahead of you is beneficial just in regulating your nervous system. But also there are so many strategic byproducts linking it back to your grad nurses in navigating that process and having external support. So many of you might think, why would I need support externally? I've already got support internally. But the reality is, like, everybody has agendas and biases and so on and so forth. So having a neutral space to come to, we can get the help, support, guidance, mentorship, and feel safe to know that it's not being fed back to people in the system is so valuable for your own sanity, mindset, well-being across the board. So I love that you mentioned that. I'd love to wrap up and ask you, if your younger graduate nurse self could see who Dee has become today and how much confidence she's developed and grown throughout her career amongst many other amazing, incredible accolades, what would she be thinking about what you've achieved and created?
I think that she would be very impressed, because this is not anywhere near where I thought that this was ever going to go. New graduate D had a completely different career path. New graduate D was not, trust me when I say, when I talk about all of this stuff, I was the highly strung, frenetic, bouncing off the walls, caffeine drinking, hot chips eating, going out until stupid hours of the morning, then getting up at 5 a.m. to do a 12-hour shift and coming home from a 12-hour shift and going out and doing stuff. I was that person. New graduate D would be looking at me going, how on earth can you possibly be having a successful, fulfilling life and not be running around like a mad thing? How can you do it and still be calm and balanced? How does that work?
What's the secret?
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah.
There's no secret.
No. And it's permission, right? It's permission to give yourself access to that level of balance and alignment. And it's so important. And like we said earlier, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's a matter of when you allow yourself to become that version of you. I love that. So for the grad nurses that are listening, who feel like they're terrified about starting their grad year, or they're drowning in their grad year, they're scared of mistakes, they're scared of the colleagues, they're scared of not coping, insert here, worry.com. What's the message that you'd want them to hear and take away from today's episode?
You are not alone. Just about every nurse that you are working with has been there and probably is still there. Every new grad that you're surrounded by, if you connect with them and sit down and have an honest around the fire kumbaya session, most of them will say the exact same thing. In some way, shape, or form. And if you just take a moment, step back, do the work, get some support, then it can be so much more calm and easy for you if you just take that weight off yourself a little bit.
I love that. Beautifully said. Dee, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure. Where can people find you?
People can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Graduate Nurse Coach. And so all of the posts and information and everything's there. There's links to my program. There's links to a free confidence guide that I have created for nurses, completely free, no strings attached. So yeah, they can grab me there and DM me.
Awesome. DM Dee and have a conversation about your grad nursing year confidence. Any questions, queries you have, or insights from this episode, make sure that you check out all the links in the show notes, because they'll all be there. And make sure you grab Dee's confidence guide, especially if you're in that first 6 to 12 months of your career. Even if you're a student nurse that's approaching your first year in nursing, get that downloaded so you can have that starting point. There's so much incredible wisdom in there. And I can't wait to have you back in the podcast, Dee. Thank you so much for your time and the work that you do. Thank you for being an example of what's possible to both our grad nurses, but also nurses that are looking to make the transition out of nursing and make nursing optional by helping others with their skills, knowledge, and expertise. Until next time, everybody, stay safe, stay forever curious, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you.
A pay rise bedside nursing could never provide. Freedom from hospital politics and the flexibility to work on your own terms without the shift work. You, my friend, are one step closer to creating your bedside escape plan. I want to hear your insights, takeaways, and questions. Connect with me over on Instagram at Nursepreneur Academy or email me at hello@liamcaswell.com. If you're the type of nurse that's ready to explore your options for building a nurse side business, leave us a review, screenshot it, and send it to my email or my Instagram, and I'll send you my bedside to business roadmap, my step-by-step process to building a six-figure nurse-led business as a thank you. Until next week, keep dreaming big, taking bold action, and betting on yourself, because this is the year you make nursing optional.